The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you on a very beautiful morning on Tuesday morning in Dublin, Ireland. The time is 9:05 and the date is the 11th of May 2021. Made a bags of that, didn't I? It was kind of all over the shop there. But the bottom line is it's Tuesday morning, it's really sunny, and it's the 10th, the 11th of May. Shall we start again? Take two. Thank God we record this program, otherwise it could be a mess. How are you all today and after yesterday? I would imagine, given that every single program I tuned into or turned on to last night and yesterday featured a barber or a hairdresser, that the hands and fingers of the hairdressers and barbers of Ireland are pretty tired this morning as they head in for round two. But I'd say it's a happy tired because they were out the door yesterday. I know in my own barber shop it was just keep going, keep going, keep going. Queue outside, get in there. Back, wash, in, out, cut, cut, snip, snip, shave, shave, get out, next. And I say that in the most positive way. It was a great experience. Obviously, as a fella, it was very easy just to get a trim. I didn't go crazy. Just said, yeah, just neaten it up. And felt good. Came home. They said, yeah, it's like you before the COVID. I said, what was it like during the COVID? Just wasn't you, man. Wasn't you. And here we are. An element of normality. So much so that myself and my eldest, we went into the National Gallery of Ireland yesterday, having booked two e-tickets. Went in, no queue, no bother. Some lovely people, some post-COVID, no, we're not post-COVID yet, but post-lockdown selfies in the art gallery, which was actually very welcome because it's a beautiful place to get pictures taken in anyway. And the place itself, you know, what you got to understand about the National Gallery of Ireland is it is teeming with soul-satisfying beauty. And more importantly is it's free. Everyone listening to this program can go in there now and it'll cost you not one red cent. And I love that. I think that's a great thing about this country is that culture and all these wonderful museums, not all of them, but most of them are free of charge. And that is, what a great gift to citizens that you can do that. And you can go in and you can look at a Caravaggio and you can look at a Picasso and you look at the Laveries and the Yeatses and you can look at Irish and European and Russian. And what they've done, if you haven't been there for years, go in, book it this week, go in next week, wait till the kids are off, make sure you have plans for the summer to come up from where you are around the country. Get in there because it's so easy to get around and you don't have to be as the one guy, Tony, he's one of the fellas who kind of keeps an eye on the place. He said, can I show you the Vermeer? I said, hey, Tony, please do. Look at the Vermeer. And he gave me a history lesson on the Vermeer. And he showed me things I wouldn't have looked because I would have passed by and gone, there's the Vermeer, tick. There's Picasso, tick. But he said, no, have a look at this Vermeer. I said, right, okay. So you see, because of see the letter on the ground? I said, well, I hadn't noticed that. Yeah, but she's just received the letter and she's annoyed. So she threw it in. And see the way she's at the top of the page with her pen, yeah? She's starting a letter to her lover who's obviously annoyed her. I said, okay, crikey. And see the way the light's coming? I said, yeah. So he said, now I've given you that little lesson on Vermeer. He said, now you can tell all your friends when you bring them in the next time and pass the information on and you can look like an expert next time. I said, okay, good man. What a lovely thing to do. That was just one of the paintings. And the walls are painted a certain, like one of the halls has this dark, lush red painted walls. I'm sure you've seen it if you haven't seen. And then there's a sort of turquoise color wall and teal. And they all pick up bits of the elements of the paintings that you're looking at that are hanging on the walls. Honestly, that's an open. And you know, like I said, for nearly 18 months, everything's going to taste, look and feel better. Well, the Art Gallery did. The National Gallery felt and tasted. I felt I was almost imbibing the artwork from the walls. So much so I'm going to go in again several times this summer. Several times because it just wasn't enough. I need it. I want to go back now and alight on a few of those pictures and spend more time and read more about them and go back in again. And as I say, free of charge. Beautiful. And I said, well, what can I get in town that I can't get near me at home? I said, I know, a cherry bun from Bewley's. Of course. So I went over, and lads behind the counters, and sorry, in all these places, by the way, it wasn't jammed, it wasn't crazy, it was well run. Even the like Bewley's was fine. You just go in and you know, click and collect. You just at the counter, give us two of those. Everything else was gone. So that's the business was booming, which was great. Went to another little place called Lemon, do a lovely crepe. Went in there, and no bother, very little queuing. Everything's running really, really well. And there was car park space in Marion Square. It was just absolutely beautiful. And so it's kind of library today, I think, and get a feel for the books again. And even the shop in the National Gallery wasn't open because you can't, but they will be open next week. And you get your beautiful artwork face masks, which I would urge you to get ahead of the posse and go online to their shop now and get them. They're gorgeous. You get works of Irish art on your face mask, and it's great. And it supports the gallery. It's a great institution and all of this. So it was absolutely, and actually I stopped to get a cup of tea in some shop, I don't know, to bring home in the cart with the cherry bun on the way back, and walking, talking, driving, eating. And the person serving the tea behind the counter was asking, how was your day? I said, great. Went to the gallery, looked beautiful. She said, I'm going there this afternoon. I said, well, good for you. Everyone, you're going to have the best day. The best hour or two ever. So go and enjoy yourself. Then I got home and I forgot that I hadn't watched an episode of Mayor of Easttown and this Kate Winslet drama, which is just wowing me. And so that was a treat too. So all told, a lovely day and a great sense of things moving. And then I was listening at one stage on the radio to Dr. Tony Houlihan talking to Brian Dobson on the news at one about the Electric Picnic and the All-Ireland Finals. And you know, Tony Houlihan is very capable when it comes to media appearances, and he won't commit because he can't, and it's too risky. But he was definitely committing to hope. How about that? And sure enough, there was a sense that, yeah, they could. I mean, it's a bit out there, but let's do it. And that was in the air. Who's taking ducklings from the canal? Apart from the fact that the DSPCA... have a spokeswoman called Gillian Bird, which of course the joke's right there, but she was excellent, by the way. And the fact that the head of Birdwatch Ireland is Niall Hatch. I mean, how does this happen? But anyway, I just say it every time, but it is extraordinary. But Gillian was saying that they're scooping the ducklings out and selling them to children for a fiver because they're great on TikTok or something like that. Question is, where are the adults? Like allowing the children to buy a duckling for a fiver. I just don't. Thanks for the... Ducklings are pretty, like they kind of start going kind of crazy in your hand if you pick them up, I presume. And ducklings, Mama Duck isn't going to take that lightly. I don't, it just sounds obscene, to be honest. I'm not making fun of it. I actually think it's disgusting. But where is somebody, or if you saw it happening, would you be inclined to say, lads, don't be doing that. Don't put the duckling back. Or do you just don't want to get involved? No, very bizarre, very bizarre. Listening, says a text to you talking about your Vermeer tutorial. Yeah, it was all of 5 minutes. Brilliant. Great. Isn't the ability and willingness to share knowledge enthusiastically a generous and beautiful trait? It really is. And actually, I'm not going to lie to you. He said, do you want me to tell you about these two paintings? I said, yes, Tony. Yes, I do. And there were these two gorgeous paintings just beside the Vermeer. And it was a man writing a letter in one and a woman receiving a letter in the other. And they were a pair. So they came as a pair from, I think, the 17th century. And he said, unusual for these. They normally get separated and they get sold as different pieces. But these two lovers have travelled through the centuries and remained together. I think they were Dutch. And now they lie side by side on the wall in the National Gallery of Ireland. There's something just not only romantic, but enormous and cosmic that these two have not been separated through greed or money or wealth or art dealing. They're still there. Oh, amazing. And then the information within the pictures was also fascinating too, including the fact that they used to put curtains over the artwork in the Netherlands or wherever it might have been because to protect them. Now, the library was my first port of call, says Bernadette, yesterday morning. Walking into that atmosphere was great. There's a calmness mixed with the buzz, and it's free indeed. And somebody from Cork also says that public library membership is free, and since 2016 they don't charge fines for late returns. Indeed, we talked about that at length here, and you're quite right. So the libraries are, I presume, buzzing. And our colleague Fiacre O'Cunningh was tweeting to say that although there's still a way to go before we're finished with this thing, it's worth noting that on Monday there were no deaths from the virus recorded in Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, England, and Scotland. Well, that's something, isn't it? And that's got to be a positive. Bob has been on to say, in the National Gallery, Tristan and Isolde, the swim and the taking of Christ are the three paintings with great stories behind them. A killing, a murder, and an Olympic medal each play their part. Great. Isn't that great? Well, I did take a picture at the Caravaggio, which I put up on Instagram, and it got lovely response because it's in one of those red rooms, so it looks spectacular on that wall. Great drama. There's an Instagram account to follow by National Gallery of Ireland as well. The Sugar Club, gosh, I was there many times. A great old spot in Dublin. They've been tweeting to say that artists, producers and agencies, the Sugar Club in Dublin is available from today for rehearsals and productions and daytime and evening time recordings and live streams. So get in touch, info@thesugarclub.com. Hashtag COVID compliant, hashtag reopening to public soon. Isn't that great? It's all coming down the tracks. It's great, great stuff. There was great chat I also heard on Drive Time last night about the potential to have a bank holiday, an extra bank, a one-off bank holiday. Did you hear about that? In the last Monday in September. And people were, the response to it was pretty, it was kind of, they were against it really from the texts that were coming in saying, well, you don't need another, we don't need another day off. It's bad for business. And I suppose it's not really bad for business if your business is tourism. And my feeling in it is, because I was listening to it going, okay, well, I'm weighing up the arguments here, but my feeling is I'm going to weigh in favour of an extra bank holiday. But what I would do is, as a compromise, I'd say we have an extra bank holiday and give it one go. So we do a COVID bank holiday once-off special next September and see how it goes. And if it's really bad for business, we'll say that wasn't once-off. If we find there's a lovely bounce from it, we'll say, let's go. Because little did I know, which I didn't, that the common number of bank holidays around Europe is about 11 or 12 in most European countries. I did not know this. In Ireland, we have, I think, 9 or 10 or thereabouts. And so we have scope for one more. So I'd say that every business I know that is a pub, restaurant, B&B, could do with this. And I think they've suffered more than most. So my inclination is to say to them, the more support they can get, the better. And roll with that for once. Let's call it the COVID bank holiday special. For everyone. Everyone needs a rest. Everyone's wrecked. Everyone who's been working, I should say, hard throughout it. And everyone who hasn't been working and is just drained from it all. Oh, it could also do with this little special moment in September. So I'm a yes. That's my vote. Cast. Convinced of it. And Leslie Roy is making her way over to for the Eurovision Mardi Gras in Rotterdam. And they're telling me here on RTE.ie that she has hit over 1 million views on YouTube with Ireland's entry, Maps. It's that's good news for her. She has returned to the Irish homegrown chart, top 10. And the semi-final will happen on Tuesday, the 18th of May. How about that? The visuals for the uplifting song show Roy running through a forest. And a motif that will be carried through her performance in Rotterdam, where she'll be taking to the stage barefoot. Hey, it worked for Sandy Shaw, didn't it? Puppet on a string. And so good luck to her. And we'll be following that story, obviously, with interest. Linda was on to say, I went to the library yesterday, got 7 books, plus I had an appointment in a bookshop and got another 6 books. Needless to say, I came home with a big smile. Good on you, Linda. You can never have enough books, really. Isn't that the case? I'm reading a really interesting one in that it's not, unfortunately, it's not going to be available till August. So I don't really want to, I won't get into it in any detail, but it's a preview copy of John Boyne's latest one. John has decided to take social media and take all his experiences in it, with it, around it, and turn it into this comic book set in the UK. It's a comedy of manners and lack of manners. It is most entertaining and an intriguing read, and I'm looking forward to talking to him about that in due course. But it's good fun, and it's cheeky as hell, and loads in it. But that's for another day. I'll tell you about that again. I noticed a gentleman got in touch with me on Instagram as well to talk about how bothered he was regarding the maternity hospitals and access for men to get in to see their wives who are with child or in trouble with child, or, you know, whatever way it might be. But I see today that protests are going to be held outside a number of maternity hospitals this morning over restrictions that exclude partners from attending scans. And people are saying, you know, somebody could hold my hand and give me a manicure yesterday. yet I can't go in and see. Now, so others might say, well, you know, it's a medically fraught conditions in a hospital. It's different. You can't say it's the same as getting a pedicure or a manicure. So don't make the comparison. It's not the same. But people are pretty fed up about this. So there's demonstrations happening in there will be in Donegal, Dublin and Louth. And for over a year now, hundreds of women have had to attend antenatal appointments alone. And some have had to go through labour without a birth partner present. And the frustration is growing that there's no clear roadmap in place for the removal of restrictions in maternity care. They need to get that sorted out pretty soon, because if you can roadmap your way out of a pedicure, you should surely should be able to do the same for people in maternity hospitals. So that's definitely somebody needs to get their act together on that, no doubt about it. Now, if you like a cup of tea, which I do, I'd kill a coffee in the morning and then a tea later on. Very strong, tiny drop of milk, no messing. I see people with the white tea and I think, what? How can you enjoy that? That is like something they might give you in a hostage situation. You know. Anyway, that's for another day as well. But the Irish Mirror.ie are reporting that a recent study has suggested that climate change could have an impact on the global supply of tea. So we could be in trouble here. It's an unwelcome piece of news for a nation of tea lovers. And with global temperatures rising, resulting in more regular droughts, erratic rainfall and flash floods, the tea-growing regions of the world are taking a heavy toll. And among the most famous tea regions is Kenya, with erratic rainfall making floods and droughts more common. And with temperatures rising, there is a major threat facing tea plantations, which have been carefully cultivated over many years. Mother of God, be careful of that. And if you are worried about the rainfall in Kenya, just keep an eye on whatever app you're looking at, because the apps have mixed reaction, thanks to Adrian Weckler in the Irish Independent today. While the most popular weather app on iPhones and Android Irish app stores is Met Aaron's app, they are not the apps that come preloaded on smartphones. So that's why your smartphone app isn't getting the weather right, because they're preloaded, and generally those apps take their data from US, from American feeds that are usually not quite as specific or focused as Irish forecasts. Adrian, thank you. I see. So we're being told, yeah, it's going to rain in Connemara and Donegal. They don't know. They don't speak Irish weather. So you have to go to a more local, like a Met Aaron app. He asks, why then do so many people rely on other weather maps? One reason is that they're preloaded, yes. Another is ease of use. While Met Aaron's app is functional, it's visually clunky and sometimes awkward to get to what you're looking for. A situation confirmed by its substantially lower app store rating, which is 2.8 on the iPhone. Okay, so maybe they need a little cleaning up on that one and then we'll be fine. But that does clarify that situation beautifully. So thank you for that. All right, 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie. I see. Well, it was one of the great TV shows. It was intriguing, I suppose. It was Years. It's a Sin, which starred Ollie Alexander, who sings with the band Years and Years. And he played Richie Tozer in this TV show, as it's called, It's a Sin, which is, of course, the title of the song by Pet Shop Boys. But the Brit Awards are happening tonight, and that will feature the O2 Arena. No after parties, but it'll be a half full O2 Arena. And they're saying that Elton John is going to sing with Ollie Alexander from Years and Years, and they're very likely going to sing It's a Sin, which is exciting because it's a great song. And actually, young Ollie Alexander's reading of the song is beautiful. It's very slow, it's very modern. But I'm going to start today with the original. It's Sin from Pet Shop Boys. Tell you what, the Met Aaron has a loyal fan base. And why wouldn't they? And they don't like what Adrian Weckler had to say about the app being clunky. It's not clunky. It's accurate. It's easy to use and it's excellent, says one, and in that kind of halting, defensive way. Another says, from John and Cork, it says a lot when a weather forecasting app for your phone is rated on what it looks like rather than how accurate it is. And Met Aaron is incredibly accurate. And the incredibly was shouted on the text in capitals. I love my Metair and rainfall radar. Wouldn't go anywhere. And the wind one. It's wonderful. I don't like, says a text from James, I don't like Metair and that, but I like and regularly use the website. I don't think it's fair to dismiss the appearance of an app. I find that if I look at an app very quickly and it looks navigable, I'll go, joy. I like a Marie Kondo. It sparks joy. And I'll go, I'm ready for you. What have you got for me? But if I think for a second, this is going to be a hack, as they say, I'd be going, I won't even bother. I'll just, do you know what? I'll take my chances. I'll bring the shades and the brolly and I'll just, you know, I don't need an app. I've got my hands. Okay, so just roll with that. Did you know Caravaggio has painted himself into the painting, the taking of the Christ, as a soldier? Really? Well, listen, I'll look at it with new eyes next time. And Jean wants to wish all the shops well as they prepare to open on Monday. Of course, it's just click and collect and by appointment yesterday. Did you see the piece in the Examiner? Somebody got a white stretch limo to Penny's just to really go for it. I mean, I kind of like that. Why not? You know, why not? Just do stuff you wouldn't normally do. Enjoy yourself. Anyway, back to this text. Want to particularly thank two of my local shops, says Jean, who were so helpful during lockdown, taking orders on the phone. They are Butterslip Gift Shop and Cannes Bookstore. So good best wishes to all, indeed. And Irene is in Malahide this morning. You've taken me back now with that song, It's a Sin. I'm dancing in the garden. Best TV I've seen in the last 10 years. Right. And Mary Corrigan says, dancing around the kitchen to Pet Shop Boys. Remember being at their concert. Well, I'll be taking a little time off soon, which I'm looking forward to immensely. And I will say that I hope Oliver plays a few tunes for me to dance around my kitchen and my garden. Because I will be doing just that when I'm tuning in with a coffee in my hand and joy in my heart. 51551 is the text number. Email ryan@rte.ie. We have a guest standing by. We'll talk to her after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, I'm going to read through some of these property texts while listening to, I love this woman, Celeste at 7 minutes to 10. I like that at the end. I think it's a better start and a nice little finish with the piano, and then it loses way a little bit, but ultimately it's a good little tune from Celeste called Stop This Flame. I'm 50 years old and married with 2 teenage children, says the text. Myself and my husband work in the arts. We have rented this property for over 20 years and will till the day we die, we reckon. There's been a rent freeze for a number of years by the landlord's own choice, and I don't have anxiety about not owning a home, though a lot of people keep asking, why would you not buy? But I wish for my children there was a more structured renting situation, because it's very possible they will never own a home either. Okay, it's a very measured take on it. Like your guest says, Claire in Dublin, I'm in my mid-30s, living in Dublin on my own, paying a high monthly rent for a shoebox apartment. I was looking into buying a number of years ago and quickly realised how unrealistic it was. A family friend pointed out to me that I would eventually become a property owner when my parents died. And as an only child, I would presumably be the sole recipient of the house they own in rural Ireland. But what an awful viewpoint and a sad state of affairs in the country I adore. Yeah. And I'm a single woman, says Angela. I rented in Dublin for 1.5 years after coming back from London. I paid less rent in London than I did in Dublin. I could not get on the property ladder in Dublin, so I moved to Belfast in 2019. I bought a 4-bedroom house for €115,000 last year. The same house would have cost me about €400,000 in Dublin. The only solution is to move to cheaper places. Dublin is screwed, says Angela. And on they go, all bright, interesting, reflective text coming in on the property situation. So we'll keep that going as much as we can. Let's take one from a text that says, I'm 42 years old and luckily was able to buy a home on my own in 2015. However, it was only through inheritance. My mother died and I earn over the average wage in Ireland. I was asked by the bank before inheritance if there was no man in my life I could go in with, or a boyfriend maybe, or a brother. Even though I was paying over €1,000 per month in rent for 15 years. Amazing. All right, we've got to leave it there for today. Thoughts on all of the above, welcome by email to ryan@rte.ie. And what we'll do is we will take those all off and print them off and read them off and collate them and bring them to you tomorrow and keep that conversation going, because clearly it's touched a nerve, and we're happy to talk about that today and tomorrow and on into the week. So today being Tuesday, yeah, we'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday morning in 9 to 10. In the meantime, stay tuned to Claire Byrne. She's standing by and we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.